very, very gratifying. And I needed it. Any schmoe throws for 4,000 yards right now. That ain't nothing. To bump it up to 5,000 tells me one thing. He's throwing the ball too much. He's throwing too much.
All right, the Ira Kaufman podcast is back. Another special edition from Radio Row live. Well, of course, we're recorded. It's a podcast at the NFL Scouting Combine. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Lee DeKemper is here. And the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports is here for this podcast. We're going to explain that in a minute, Lee. Lee, how are you, man?
All right. Well, apparently someone else who is here. It seems as though Ira has a side chick in Indianapolis. This blonde walks up looking for Ira. Her name's Daphne. I mean, it smells like what you would see in an establishment in Del Mabry, I'm told. What was that cartoon with Daphne? Was it Scooby-Doo? Was it yeah, it was Daphne, right?
Well, I do have to say, we sitting here on Radio Row, a woman comes up and says, where's Ira? And, of course, you know, she sees the big Ira Kaufman podcast banner. And I say, oh, well, he's not here right now. And she says, oh, gosh, I've been back six times already. He's never here. And I said, oh my goodness. Well,
I could be Ira if you want.
He's not here with us in the flesh because he had a family thing popped up at the last minute, couldn't make it. But so anyway, she went on to explain her connection to Ira a little bit. But we have to ask him about this to get the real truth. But Ira is on the podcast today, and you'll be hearing him soon with Rock Riley. They sat down for a recorded segment to get Ira's full impressions of all the stuff that we heard from Jason Light and Bruce Arians. Yesterday, of course, Ira's column is at joebucksfan.com where he sort of takes some shots at Jason Light. Ira's very frustrated, but you can read that and you will hear Ira talk about this later.
I know one of the reasons Ira's frustrated. He was incensed that the NFL Network had had the gall to broadcast anything with Kay Adams over a Jason Light press conference. And I haven't checked, but I'm assuming the video of Jason Light's press conference is on Buccaneers.com. I don't care how big of a Bucs fan you are. If you'd prefer to watch that over Kay Adams, you need counseling.
Well, the podcast today, of course, as always, is presented by Bill Curry Ford. Specifically, the intimate care and the personal touch you will get from Bill Curry Ford general manager Sean Sullivan. They're a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. They've been there 60 years of Bill Curry Ford. And the point is, Sean is going to take care of you as the boss. He will help you and guide you, and it's a family dealership with family relationships. You will get the Ira Kaufman Joe Bucks Fan discount. You will get their nationwide lifetime warranty on new and pre-owned vehicles, and you're going to get fantastic service.
I bought my Ford F-150 last year, and that was before they were cutting a check to Ira, long before. And the service I got was 5-star. Recently, I took my truck there to get the oil changed. I had a personal technician work with me, and he gave me advice on some things that I didn't even know about. It's going to extend the life of my truck, and I just can't say enough about the service. When I bought my truck there, and to this day, a year and a half later, 5-star service I'm getting.
BillCurryFord.com, BillCurryFord.com. And we want to remind everybody to drink Big Storm Beer. Big Storm Beer, it's in the stores, it's in the bars. It's at Big Storm Tap Rooms. There are three of them. Go to BigStormBrewery.com. And we love the beers. Lee loves the Wavemaker Amber Ale. That's their original. But they've been around a handful of years. There are many beers to choose from. Use their Storm Tracker at BigStormBrewery.com. They are the home of the Joe Bucks Fan, Big Storm Brewery, massive Ira Kaufman escapade, NFL draft party on April 23rd. We're going to get everything rolling about 6:30. That's the first night of the draft. Of course, you'll be hearing a lot more of that and what we're going to be doing. But that's where it is. Big Storm Brewery, 49th Street, Clearwater, just south of Almerton. Go to BigStormBrewery.com and just drink Big Storm. The Bromosa, the Tropic Pressure, so many to choose from. All right, Lee. Now, Ira's coming up soon in the podcast. He's feisty as hell. And a couple things we didn't talk about yesterday as we sit here at the Combine. We didn't really go too deep into the running back situation. And we touched on it a little bit, but basically Bruce Arians sounded the death knell in Tampa for Peyton Barber.
He
got up on the podium, he named three running backs, none of them named Peyton Barber, as guys that he likes as part of a, quote, solid unit. Now, we joked about it yesterday with the solid waste and some other things, but he went on later to send our side chat to talk about how he wants a three-down running back. And he likes those guys, and that's the NFL now, and he said these guys can't pass block anyway. Coming out of college, it's just not a thing anymore. So you know what? Give me a guy who can catch. And he wants that David Johnson prototype. And I know we touched on it, but I think it's very important to understand that Ronald Jones is not that David Johnson prototype. He really isn't. And he couldn't get on the field on third down last year. So how serious do you think they are about finding this all-purpose, all-everything back?
Do I hope they're serious? Sure, I hope they're serious. Do I think they're serious? No. I mean, I would love to see them go get a running back in the first round or the second round. Dobbins out of Ohio State, I love. I've heard Arians talk too much about how he doesn't believe in putting major resources into a running back. I've heard it before. Now, if they're bound and determined to get rid of Jameis and they find a lesser quarterback, well, that means you better upgrade your running back position. That might do it. That might light a fire under someone's derriere at one buck. Like, well, you know, maybe we might need to get a running back. I think it's hot air. Until I see it, I really don't believe it unless, like I said, they get rid of Jameis, they find a lesser quarterback, which means, you know what? Lesser quarterback meaning less production. And so they're going to have to find production elsewhere, and that means running back. Again, I just think it's lip service unless they get rid of Jameis. You know, it could be the Glazers order them. It could be. Like, well, you get a freaking running back? It's hot air.
I got you. I can't imagine the Glazers going to order a running back. They were so excited about Ronald Jones 2 years ago. You know, and, hey, if they ordered him up, it didn't work too well. So maybe they're going to switch to something else on the menu. Maybe they're ordering up a right tackle.
Yeah, I mean, since Chucky, there's only been one person in the Bucs organization that valued a running back. And that was Shannon, and they ran him off. Only once since Shannon left that the Bucs had a good running game. Once. Dirk Cutter's first year. When Levy ordered Dirk Cutter, you're going to have a running game. And then, oh, by the way, that just happened to be Jameis' rookie year as well. That's sad.
A first-round running back, I know Bucs fans don't really talk about it, but in some ways it would make so much sense. But it all depends how you view the organization and its future and how you want to look at it. And we have no evidence to think that the Bucs really want to invest like that. But you know what? We're at the combine. These workouts can help teams fall in love with a player, even though Arians said you fall in love with the combine, you're going to get burned.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, we believe he's calling the shots, at least I do. I don't think Jason Light is really, I don't even know what he's calling the shots on.
Well, and from his performance yesterday, I love Jason, but after yesterday, he seemed more like a figurehead than anything. Like, Ira put it perfectly. He goes, I listened to Jason Light for over 30 minutes. I'm still waiting for him to make a point. I like Jason a lot, but that was a sad performance. Let's call it what it is, a performance. He made no definitive statements. He stammered, he hemmed, he hawed. He looked to the ceiling for divine guidance. He said nothing, and I felt bad for the guy. Now, real quick about running back. Bruce Arians talks about, oh, David Johnson. He uses David Johnson as a standard. We need a David Johnson-like kind of running back. He was a third-round pick, was he not? Keep that in mind. The guy he's using as a standard to go by was a third-round pick.
All right, one other thing that went down yesterday is Arians said, I'll read the quote, Alex Kappa has found his spot. He's a really solid guard, and I don't want to set him back and move him. He's gotten better and better and better. And I heard that, Lee, and I wrote about it. The minute I heard that, I thought, you know what? You know what the Bucs did? Ali Marpet was a very sound and solid and up-and-coming small school right guard, just like Kappa.
They bounced him around.
And they bounced him over to center for no damn good reason, just because they paid J.R. Sweezy, who then couldn't play, and then they stuck him in and moved Marpet, all because of stupidity. Really, you got a guy, don't mess with it. And you know what? Jason Light would be the first to tell you, oh, Bruce Arians knows what he's doing. He's on the ball. Well, this is Arians in the same kind of position, and he doesn't want to move Kappa to right tackle where they have a need, and Kappa's a right tackle kind of body, and he played tackle in college.
That's what Ira claims.
It just really, it really struck me as a historical kind of thing.
If what you believe is accurate, that you believe that Arians is running the show, you got to remember that's a different person who's running the show with the J.R. Sweezy decisions. That's number one. Number two, playing right tackle, or a tackle, period, at Humboldt State, just a little bit different than playing tackle, right tackle in the NFL. And just because a guy can play tackle at a defunct school, or no, school's still going, defunct football program, doesn't mean that's going to carry over to the NFL, and that's probably, and I'm sure that's why he was sent to guard. Same with Ali Marpet. He was a tackle at a D3 school. Now he's a guard. I tell you what, I wrote about this 2 months ago. There's this guy, he played in a Senior Bowl from, it may be a Division II school. At any rate, it's a small school in Minnesota. He went to the Senior Bowl. He played really well in the Senior Bowl. And it just screams Jason Light in the sense, I want to say his name is Brian Barth. If you look at patterns, Jason Light's draft picks, he likes guys who play well in the Senior Bowl. He loves small school offensive linemen. I don't know if that's because of his background. He was also a small school offensive lineman. That's part of the reason Marpet is with the Bucks. He played well at the Senior Bowl. He was small school, meaning he could be had for a lesser draft pick. Well, last week, a guy at NFL.com mocked this guy to the Bucks in the third round, the same guy, in Minnesota. But a Jason Light kind of pick. And I'm not being derogatory. I'm not being negative here. I'm just saying. I'm stating facts. And Jason Light likes small school offensive linemen. If they play well in the Senior Bowl, and this guy played well in the Senior Bowl, he could probably be your next Bucks right tackle. Could be.
It's supposedly deep. Arian said he's spent more time than ever that he can remember looking at offensive linemen.
But is it deep? I keep hearing reports that there's, you know, good players at the top for offensive linemen, and after that it drops off the map.
I'm just saying what Arian said. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. These guys,
Daniel Jeremiah is one of those guys that are saying this.
The offensive linemen were out today and, not saying very much, looking very big this morning.
Mechty's a huge dude.
Yeah, Becton and
Mechty Becton, yeah.
Yeah. It feels like they want to draft a right tackle. They certainly could use one. It fits. But maybe they do make that investment. I don't know. I mean, Donovan Smith is a guy who, you know, we know how Bucks fans feel about him. Very mixed reviews. He's the Jameis of the offensive line.
Worse. For whatever reason, I tend to believe this started with the PFF tribe way back before even Donovan Smith was drafted, that they branded him as a louse. And people read that shit as gospel. And I'm telling you, every NFL player personnel guy I've spoken with think that's one step above a pile of feces. They go wild about that. And so every once in a while I say, well, I see PFF ranks this offensive guard. I said, you can blow your nose in that stuff. NFL people go bananas when you cite the PFF tribe when it comes to offensive line. They go wild. And who am I going to believe? The guys actually paid hundreds of thousands of dollars for their career and living, or some dude in an Irish dorm room? Uh-uh. Sorry. I think the Donovan Smith hate was hatched by the PFF tribe before he was drafted, and people just parrot that. They don't know any better. Now, to be fair, I'm not anti-Donovan Smith, mind you. Could he be better? Sure. But I don't think he's a sieve either. What I will say is, last year, I think it was his best year in the NFL. His biggest knock, and he gets mad about this, but too bad, it was true. He drove you nuts, I know. He had a habit of not playing to the end of the whistle. He let up an ugly sack against Dallas, and Jameis Gamner got beheaded for that very reason. That didn't happen this past year.
It sure did.
You think so?
His own position coach talked about it. I actually wrote about it on Joe Bucks Fan, and it wasn't as bad as in past years.
Yeah.
But his own position coach went on Buccaneers Radio Network and talked about getting him to not take plays off.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that is the knock on
him.
It just wasn't nearly as bad.
It goes back to what I'm saying. That was his best year.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying he was dominant,
no,
but that was
his
best year of his career. Now, if he's on the upswing, I don't think he'll be going anywhere soon. Now, granted, he's not going anywhere this year. He's got guaranteed money tied up. They're not getting rid of him. They're not going to pay him that kind of money to sit at home and pick his nose.
No, I've always maintained he's one of the least of their problems, really, with the issues that they have.
Quarterback, running back, safety, of course.
I mean, the reason they can't run the ball up the gut is not really on Donovan Smith. And, you know, you can't throw for all those passing yards and claim you have the worst left tackle ever.
Well, you always made the point when he was a rookie and people were screaming about offensive line can't run block. And you're like, where is this coming from? You just had an 1,100-yard rusher, 1,300-yard rusher in Doug Martin, and the starting left tackle was Donovan Smith. How bad could he have been? You always made that point, and I think it was a valid point.
Well, the tandem of that year led the NFL, and the yards per carry was very high, so we know he can do it. He doesn't have to be great. He's not bad. He's Donovan Smith, and you can think of him what you want.
Tony Baselli? No, he's not.
Now, one guy who's always hitting it hard is the sage of Tampa Bay sports, and here he is. Remember to go to Pin Chasers when you want to go bowling in the Tampa Bay area. They have three great locations. Shoes are always free, and every day has a daily special. Thursday night bowling, Unlimited bowling for just $10.99 starting at 9 p.m. and enjoy $1 Miller Lights while you bowl, free shoes, like I said, drink specials all night long, and get to pinchasers.net to reserve a lane and see every daily special. You can book an office party, a birthday party. They will assign you a party leader and a guide to make sure everything is just right for you. Pinchasers.net. They've been in the Tampa Bay area for so many years, a family-owned business. Pin Chasers, that's where you want to bowl, party, have fun every day of the week.
Oh my God, I'm back, and I'm back with The Sage. My name is Rock Ronnie, but this is The Sage's podcast, Ira Kaufman, and here we are, and we have some football to talk about with the combine and with the press conferences. We finally have some stuff.
And Rock, our boys are up in frigid Indy, and we're over here in beautiful Tampa Bay. I came down here, my cherry red Ford Escape 2020, seat warmers everywhere. I got so many features, Rock. I got to read the manual before I go to bed every night. I'm on page 128. I think it's 400 pages. What a vehicle. BillCurryFord.com. Concierge service just north of the stadium on Dale Mabry. See Sean Sullivan. He's knee-deep in the 2020 draft. He's probably working on the 2021 draft. And if you listen to the podcast last week, Rock, we did it at Bill Curry. Sean gave his picks 1 through 14, and you could tell right away, this man's knowledgeable. He's not just throwing darts at a board. And now we've got all the comments from Bruce Arians and Jason Light. Rock, I said in my column yesterday, and I'm going to stick by it, between Light at the podium and then the Kemper gave me some stuff about what Light said in a sidebar with the local media, he almost talked for 30 minutes. One was 15, one was 14. I'm still waiting for him to make a point, Rock. 30 minutes of Jason Light. He's hedging, he's fudging, and it's classic Light. He never gives you anything at the combine. Rock, he hasn't talked since the end of the draft last year. That's a long time for a GM to be silent. Obviously, this organization has come to the conclusion they want one man, one voice, and that's going to be Bruce Arians. And you know, if I got to pick between listening to Light or listening to Arians, I'll take BA all day, every day.
I was going to say the same thing. Now, there are some that are critical, saying the Buccaneers haven't handled this right with Jameis Winston, including your colleague, Lee DeKemper. What happens if Jameis mentally is upset here in door number two? Door number two. Look, man, you got to have thick skin. You're in the NFL. I'm not worried about how he feels, but how do you see this on how they have handled the Jameis Winston situation so far, Sage?
Well, one, on DeKemper's point, I think you and I have to agree that if Winston comes back under a franchise tag or maybe a 1 or 2 year contract, it's going to be hard for Arians to walk back his comments. I mean, he said what he said. We can win with him. We can win with somebody else. Very tepid support. Very tepid. But at the same time, Rock, we got to say this. The 2019 season was all about coddling and no competition. And he's going to play 16 games come hell or high water unless he's got a busted leg, no matter how bad he plays. How'd that work out, Rock? That didn't work out so great. So for people that's wondering about Winston with his shattered confidence, his fragile ego, well, they tried it the other way, Rock, and they got nowhere. They got 30 interceptions out of it. So good for them.
DeKemper continues to harp on the 5,000-plus yards, and nobody is taking that into consideration. I think that they are, but I think the 30 turnovers, that outweighs that.
You know, look, we love DeKemper like a brother, Rock. He's got to get off the yardage. He's got to get off it. I know there's only four guys that ever did this and blah, blah, blah. Rock, the rules are any schmo throws for 4,000 yards right now. That ain't nothing. And to bump it up to 5,000 tells me one thing. He's throwing the ball too much. That's another factor. He's throwing too much. Now, it's not his fault they got a lousy run game. It's not his fault the offensive line can't block for the run game. I grant him that. But at the same time, Rock, you compare him to his peers. And I don't want to hear about Fran Tarkenton his last year when he was 38 through 32 interceptions and Vinny Testaverde. His peers, Rock, the rules have changed. Used to be you'd throw for 60% completions. Man, you're an accurate quarterback. Now, if you don't throw for 64, 65, you're inaccurate. The rules have changed. You can't play cornerback in this league. You can't put your hands on anybody. You're judging by his peers. And Rock, judging by his peers, he threw 7 or 8 more picks than anybody else in the NFL. Like, Rock, I've been thinking about it. I've been waffling, you know. That 4-game winning streak, Rock, he kind of won me over. Because they were winning, and they were averaging 35 points. And I can live with a couple of turnovers when you're doing that. Those last 2 games, Rock, they have a chance to go 9-7, at the worst 8-8. Home games, which they got to establish themselves at home. It's a big problem, and Arians didn't solve it in 2019. That's a black mark on Arians, year one. You got to win at home, especially with that crazy road schedule to go 5-3 on the road, and I tell you that you aren't a playoff factor. That's miserable. That's a horrible thing to say. And the last 2 games, Rock, 6 picks, 21 points per game, 2 games that the defense plays well, and they come up with 2 losses, 7-9. Rock, I'm starting to think, let's move on. Let's move on, Rock.
All right.
And the $27 million doesn't help Winston either. It does not help in terms of bringing back all the guys on defense that Light and Arians want to bring back. Winston's salary is a problem there.
All right, so saying that, Sage, who, if you want to move on? Now, I'm sure you listened to the boys, and when Bruce Arians did the thing with the local media.
Who's going to be available?
Tom Brady. Tom Brady. He said right away he would pick up the phone for Tom Brady. And, is that going to be tampering? And Jenna Lane following up, well, what about Philip Rivers? We may talk to him as well. All right. So if you want to move on, what do you think? Is it definitely going to be a veteran? Are you sure about that? Are they going to go? It doesn't seem like, listening to Jason Light yesterday, that in that first round they would go with a quarterback. Is it going to be a veteran? Is it going to be one of these?
I got 3 names for you. And again, it's like Arian says, everybody's talking about all these guys going to be available in terms of the veterans. He'd be surprised if it's more than 1 or 2.
That's right.
You know, and Arians is a realist.
Right.
There's a lot of talk right now and a lot of misdirection. We know that. Brady could end up back with the Patriots. We'll see. Why does he want Brady? Because he's Tom Brady. Now, you and I watched him. His arm's not what it used to be. It's not. But it's Brady. And he's so smart and so much of a winner. And what Arians say yesterday? I like to deal with winners. I can see Brady's face when he said that, right up on the screen. I'll give you another name, Ryan Tannehill. All right, Ryan Tannehill, he left Miami. Nobody thought twice about Tannehill. He went to Tennessee. He went 9-3. They went to the AFC title game. Now, the Bucs don't have Derrick Henry. Granted, Titans defense, good, not great. Buck defense could be as good as Tennessee's in 2020. Could be, if they bring all their guys back and maybe add one more guy. Tannehill resurrected his career. I got a guy now. You and I know Joe Henderson very well. He's a Bengals fan, and he's a very sharp sports guy.
Long time Tampa Tribune, been around forever.
Absolutely. Henderson's trying to sell me on Andy Dalton. He says, number one, it'll cost you a 4th-round pick. Okay. I'm not worried about the pick. I'm worried about Andy Dalton. Now, he's had 3 or 4 losing seasons in a row. But he has not had a bad NFL career. He's 10 games over 500. Winston can only dream about being 10 games over 500. When he had A.J. Green and he had some weapons and he had that tight end Tyler Eifert before he got hurt, the guy was effective. He'd throw 25 touchdowns and 11 interceptions. And they'd win 11 games. And they'd be in the playoffs every year. That's not a bad formula. Doesn't throw a lot of picks. And then one more name, Rock. Teddy Bridgewater. Teddy Bridgewater.
Now you're talking.
We always come back to Teddy Bridgewater, Rock, because it's clear to me, and DeKemper can't believe this, it's clear to me that the coach, Peyton, is intrigued with this Taysom guy, more so than he's intrigued with Bridgewater. Now, Bridgewater went 5-0. Rock, you could have won a few games with the Saints. They were that good with that running back and the greatest receiver in the league, with all due respect to Mike Evans. You know, Michael Thomas is better. Michael Thomas is the man. And he's the offensive player of this league for a reason. But Bridgewater might fit. Now, is he a great long ball thrower? No. But you know what? If Arians is the coach, the 2-time coach of the year, that we think he is, and that the Glazers think he is, you adjust your scheme for your talent. And if you got Teddy Bridgewater, you make it work. And I think he makes sense, Rock. I'd move him right in. He'd be my quarterback. He He's not 33 years old. And I would draft a quarterback. Yes, I would. Third round, somebody that Arians likes, that he can develop. Rock, when you take a guy in the third round and not the first round, nobody's going to be screaming that the guy doesn't play in year one. You don't want him to play in year one. Use Bridgewater as a bridge. And if Bridgewater's your guy and turns out to be a heck of a pickup in free agency, you trade the rookie that you picked and get what you can for him, and you live with Bridgewater. It's a win-win, my friend.
Wow, how about that from Sage? Moving on, he gave you the list of names of the quarterbacks. Now, I know that there is a lot more that's been talked about besides Jameis Winston. And when we stay on offense, do you notice a different demeanor, especially with Jason Light, when it comes to O.J. Howard, even Bruce Arians? He's young, he's strong, he's been hurt a lot, but they seem to be more in keeping O.J. Howard. You getting that feel now, Sage, a little?
I'm getting that feeling, but I also have the feeling, Rock, and you and I will never prove it. Behind closed doors, he's a concern. He's a concern.
So don't believe everything that you're hearing out at the combine and the podium. Okay.
He's going to be back for 2020. They know that. And they're trying to pump him up. That's what they're trying to do. We believe in you. I wish they'd do it a little more with Winston, if they really had any intentions of bringing Winston back. David Wenk, who is a tremendous Bucks fan, good sponsor for Joe Bucks fan. He's an oncologist and a very good one. Up in Pasco, very sharp Buck fan. He said something to me, Rock, the other day. It kind of rings true on Winston, and I bet you haven't thought about this. The comments from Light, and especially Coach Arians on Tuesday in Indy. You know what it sounds like, Rock? What they were saying about Gerald McCoy a year ago. Gerald McCoy. And when we heard those things about Gerald McCoy, he looked like he was in limbo. And it didn't sound like they wanted him back.
And
as the months went on, it became clear. They didn't want him back.
No doubt. So I get you. But you mean similar to how they're talking when they're asked about Jameis?
I believe so. It leads me to believe there's a better than average chance he's moving on. And it'll be interesting, Rock, what kind of interest he gets should he hit the free agency market. I don't think he's going to have seven teams looking at him. I do not. All it takes is one, though. And has he put up enough in his resume? Maybe. Somebody else thinks they can work with him. But if Bruce Arians couldn't fix his giveaway problems, I think that's a warning sign for other franchises.
And Clyde Christensen and Leftwich and
right.
With the weapons.
That's right.
All right, one more thing on the offense, and I want to get to the defense. They talk like the running game. I'm talking about Jason Light and Bruce Arians. You know the running game was not good. So what are you expecting this offseason? Are they going to try to bring in a veteran? And you're going to think we're going to get a running back in the draft, Sage?
Rock, what's it going to take for somebody at One Buck Place to acknowledge they can't run the ball? I mean, every year, whether it's Cutter, it's Arians, it's Light, we got a pretty good running game. We love our stable of backs. Love your stable of backs. Are you listening to your fan base? They don't like these guys. Ronald Jones might be a nice little change of pace. That's why he was drafted. You still need a number one running back. I'm not giving Jones the ball 25 times. Rock, I don't know if it's the running backs or I don't know if it's the O-line or a combination. Whatever it is, the facts are the facts, Rock. They average 3.5 yards a carry. It's no good. They don't score in the red zone running the ball. That's been a problem. They don't have a lot of guys that can catch the ball out of the backfield. One of the things I noticed Arian said when they asked him, what are you looking for in a running back? First thing he didn't say was, you know, putting his foot in the ground and making a quick cut. He said catching the football.
Yes, he did.
That's
say.
What he said.
Yeah.
Now, I saw a story today that an FSU running back, I forgot the kid's name, is an outstanding receiver. If he's available in the second or third round, which he may fall, look out for him. But, Rock, this running game is not good enough. It's just not good enough. And I'm tired of these guys saying we're satisfied with our backs. No, they're not, and no, they shouldn't be.
So when the Brady chatter, and Brady is going to interview, he's going to do it, Sage. He's setting up they got to come to him. He doesn't want a media circus. Say Arians and Light gets there. What's going to be their pitch? What about Brady if he asked, hey, what about our running game? What are they going to tell, you know?
Well, I think the first thing they'll say is you got Evans and Godwin, and you didn't have anybody close to that, especially once Gronkowski was gone. He had a bunch of third and fourth receivers, and the Bucs have two number ones. They got the best tandem in football. If the Bucs do anything well, they got the best wide receiver tandem in football. I don't think you can argue that point. So that's number one. And here's a subtle one, Rock. And I think Arians would really go strong on this. Tom, can you imagine you coming in here on a franchise that has missed the playoffs 12 straight years and leading us to a 10-6 season and a playoff berth? What would that do to validate your career and you're away from Belichick and you pull a move like that? That's a beautiful thing to think about, Tom. I mean, those are the things you got to throw out there to Brady. Money's not going to be the object. And by the way, the Bucs ain't going to be the only ones after him. You know that, Rock. There's going to be five teams after Brady. It's going to be his call. At this point, I'd be surprised if he's back in New England. I think he's made the decision. And by the way, have you heard word one from Belichick about Brady?
Nothing.
Word one of support from Belichick? Zero. Absolutely zero. That's weighing heavily on Tom Brady. Where's my head coach? Where is he? I think he's made the decision. I'm moving on. I'm going somewhere else.
Now, we are going to find out soon, fairly soon. And even Arians keeps saying the same thing. He was on NFL Network with Siciliano. And Andrew Siciliano said, oh, let me get this straight. You like Jameis, because Light wanted to make sure. It's not like we're not against. We like Jameis.
That's called damage control.
Okay. And until you get something better, okay? My point is, door number two, we are going to find out. Hey, we found out that Breeze is staying. Yes. Still hasn't done anything.
That was a big domino.
So it depends on Brady. That's the thing that's holding everything back, Brady?
Brady's a big part of it. He is a big part of it. Where's he going to go? Is he going to go to the Chargers? Is he going to go to the Bears?
Gruden?
Is he going to go to the Colts? Is he going to go to the Raiders? And if he goes to the Raiders, that prize Carr wide open. And I think Arians has to look at Carr. He's got to take a strong, strong look at Derek Carr.
Is he better than Jameis Winston, do you think, Sage?
I liked him when he was throwing for 540 yards against the Bucs at Ray J a couple of years ago. That was one of the weirdest games you and I have ever seen. Didn't the Raiders have 20-something penalties in that game? I believe they did. Like an NFL record penalties, and they win the game against the Bucs. Carr was spectacular. Now, I've seen Carr also a game last year at the Meadowlands against the Jets. He was horrible, and the Raiders didn't show up. It was a terrible performance. I remember I was watching it because I was at Buffalo Wild Wings on a Sunday, and the Bucs were on the road, and one of the TVs had the Jets-Raiders game. The Raiders didn't show up. I mean, it was a terrible performance. Carr's not old. I think Arians can say, I can work with this guy. I still think you should keep your eye on Bridgewater. Keep your eye on Teddy. Ready, Teddy.
All right, Sage, let's go over to the defense. Man, they love even Sue and Carl Nassib, even though your cohort calls him Nassib. They want to keep those guys. That's been their priority. That surprise you at all? What do you think? How that's going to work out? Can they afford it? Can they do it?
One of the things Arian said Tuesday, Rock, that I love that he said it, because I've been saying it. You can't look at Shaq Barrett in an isolated fashion. And by that I mean, if you don't bring back JPP and you bring back the NFL sack leader, guess what? He's going to go from 19.5 to 9.5. That's what's going to happen. Why? Because opposing offenses are going to load up against Barrett. And they're going to say, we're not going to let this guy, we're not worried about anybody else, and they're not worried about Nassib yet. And Sue's no big factor on the rush, and neither is Vea at this point. And we haven't seen this great blitzing up the middle that we were told about that didn't happen with Devin White. Although I think he could be an effective blitzer. We'll see what happens in year two for White. But, Rock, my basic point is you got to look at those two as a match set. And Arian said when he was asked about Barrett, well, we got to bring JPP back with Barrett. Rock, JPP is eligible. He's potentially going to hit that free agent market. And a guy who got 8.5 sacks in basically half a season when he probably wasn't even 100%, he's going to get a lot of interest.
Gotcha.
And you can't question the man's toughness. Nobody can question his toughness. He could have packed it in for the season. He didn't do it. And I think he's a leader in the locker room. Rock, you're around that locker room quite
a bit.
And I think they would miss that too. So he's a big priority to me, JPP. There's no doubt in my mind Barrett's coming back. I'll tell you why. The one thing Arian said without hedging, without fudging, and without saying door number two and maybe, he said, Shaq's not going anywhere. He said it a month ago or 2 months ago. He's going to look real bad if that doesn't happen. He's going to have a lot of explaining to do. And they have it within their power to make sure he doesn't go anywhere. They can stop him from hitting free agency. And I think that's what's going to happen. I wouldn't be surprised if they sign him to a multi-year contract and not franchise him. Some people think franchise is the way to go. He'd cost 16 or 17 as opposed to Winston's 27. Rock, I'm telling you, the more you think about it, Winston at $27 million just doesn't make a lot of sense.
I got you, Save. All right, what about the defensive secondary? They've been drafting. They got young guys. They seem to like them. You think they're going to pick up one or two? What do you think about the secondary?
I like one or two better than I like others. Jamel Dean's my guy. He's my guy. And I'll tell you why, Rock. Buck fans, you yourself included, over these past 5-7 years, they are so upset by receivers catching balls with no Buck around them. No Buck around them. The balls are not contested. And you and I both saw in the second half of last season a major change. Now, if a guy makes a great catch, Rock, if Michael Thomas comes down with the ball, that's Michael Thomas. You salute him and you move on. DeAndre Hopkins makes a sideline catch, you tip your cap to Hopkins. That's a lot different.
Look at Sherman in the Super Bowl. You're right. You're right. There are some great players. Okay.
But, Rock, that's a big difference with nobody in the vicinity. And Jamel Dean, it seemed to me, and I think he contended for the league lead in passes defended, which is a heck of a number for a young corner. And this guy should do nothing but get better. Let's give Kevin Ross some credit. That old Chiefs cornerback from the 90s who they called The Rock. You know, he wasn't big, but he was tough as nails. He knows the position. He knows how to coach the position. Bunting seems to be, Rock, a guy who's usually in the right place at the right time. But I think Dean's going to end up being the better player. Carlton Davis has the size that you and I like. I think he could develop into a better than serviceable guy. But to me, Dean is the guy. Dean's the future cornerstone. Would I like a veteran corner? I think I would. I'm not paying a guy $19 million, but I'd like a veteran corner in that room to show Dean, Bunting, and Davis how it's done. Sometimes you get a little tired listening to the coach. You want a guy, and preferably a guy who's been through the playoff mill a little bit and can tell these guys how to get it to the next level.
Now, I was listening to the boys on the latest podcast from Indy, and Steve Isbitt said that he believes, and Lee agree with him, if the Buccaneers have another season of 7 wins, Bruce Arians and the whole staff is going to be fired, because that's what the Glaziers do, no more than 2 years if you have. Now, I look at the Arians thing a little bit different. Yeah, I know the track record of the Glaziers. If they only win 7 games, I don't see Bruce Arians getting fired and blowing them out. Do you? Maybe you do. Maybe you agree with the boys.
I think his only exit key in that case would be if he played a rookie quarterback, which I don't see happening. I don't see that in the cards. Then you might get another year. Rock, I think it would be announced as a mutual thing where he's going to retire. I think that's the way it would be. 2 straight 7-9s, that don't sit well with the Glazers. It doesn't sit well with Arians. He'll be back on the golf course. He'll drive that golf cart up I-75 up to Georgia. And if he goes, lights gone. That you and I can say with certainty. If the minute Arians is gone, lights gone. And that's just the way it is.
All right, real quickly, NFC South. We're hearing so much with Carolina. One report is that, they're going to move from number 6 to number 1 to go get Burrow. Then I hear the new coach, Matt Rhule, say, if we do it right with Cam Newton, he could be the old Cam Newton. What about the Carolina Panthers, Sage? You concerned at all about what the Panthers are going to do?
Rock, let's take a good look at the NFC South. I think it's come back to the field in a strong way from about 2 or 3 years ago when the Falcons were coming off a Super Bowl, and the Saints are always good, once they drafted Kamara, that turned that franchise around, because they went 7-9 three straight years before they got Kamara. And he's that great safety valve for Breeze, and their defense got a lot better. And Carolina's always in the mix. Well, what's going on now? This Cam Newton thing is a disaster. It's a fiasco. They don't know what to do. The owner, Tepper, hedge fund manager, mover and a shaker. I was there in Atlanta when they announced his introduction as the owner. I could tell when he went to the podium, Rock, this guy's big time. He's volatile. He's a Jerry Jones in waiting. Now, he don't have the franchise to command that kind of attention that Jerry Jones does.
Do you know, though, that he is the richest owner by far, way past Jerry Jones? Tepper.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. But anyway, go back. Go ahead, Sage.
You know, speaking of hedge funds, you and I missed our calling. We should have been hedge funds. They sit at a computer all day and say and speculate, and the next thing you know, they got $1.5 billion, right? Well, what's going on? Anyway.
But Carolina, they're a mess
They're a mess. They're a mess. Keekly. They lost a defensive leader. McCoy's gone. They don't want McCoy back. He could latch on with another team, but his at a reduced salary. They're a mess. Atlanta is a mediocre team. Ryan's got a couple of years left. He's getting battered. He's taking a beating. Matt Ryan has taken a beating behind a substandard offensive line. Rock, they're moving on from Devonta Freeman. They still got Julio Jones. If they didn't have Julio Jones, I think that's a 4-12 team. They're hanging by a thread there. And this probably Breeze's last season. And I don't know what Hill can do behind center if he's asked to throw 32 passes a game. I'll tell you one thing about Hill, Rock, and I said this, and DeKemper couldn't believe it. I do believe it. Even with Breeze under center this fall, Hill's going to get a lot of action, because I think they got to get a good look at him, and he knows that this could be Breeze's last year. I wouldn't be surprised if Hill takes about 25 or 30% of the snaps with a healthy Breeze, just to give defenses another look. So, Rock, what I'm saying is, this is a great opportunity for this Buck franchise. They're young. Now, I'm a little tired of hearing how young they are. We've heard this for 10 years, and I'm a little tired of it. And I see you shaking your head because you're tired of it. After a while, Rock, that's nothing to boast about. All it means is, you know, you're trying to keep your salaries down. That's what it means. But the difference is that they're on a lot of guys that are on second contracts. We'll see if Winston joins that group. Godwin is going to join that group. If it doesn't happen in May, it'll happen in September. But it's going to happen. Godwin ain't going anywhere. And, you know, you've got all these, you know, you got Donovan Smith and Marpet and Evans. All these guys got taken care of, and I'm not saying they didn't deserve it. Levante David. So that's chewing up a lot of the salary cap. It's an indication that they have some cornerstones. They don't have enough. Rock, every team in this league has some good, has some really good players. They need more. Bucks need more. And I keep coming back to this offensive line. Rock, you can talk about all the money they sunk in, but when you really look at it, Rock, it's an underachieving group, I believe. And they're going to have to go out and get a right tackle. And if DeMar Dotson wants to come back at half his salary as a backup, I'm interested. I'd bring him back.
Now, I don't know if you heard this last podcast that Steve talked to John Lynch. And I thought, I'll tell you what, man, I was really, really, really impressed, where you know how disappointed John Lynch has been. And what he had to say, Sage, though, how did it make you feel? Where I don't want anyone else pitching me. Ira's done the best of anybody in that room, and Ira takes it as hard as I do. How did that make you feel?
Very, very gratifying. And I needed it. I needed a boost like that. Because I'll tell you, Rock, when I was on that shuttle bus going to NFL Honors, not knowing who the final five were, because this year they didn't tell us. All the other years when we left that meeting, we knew who was getting in the hall. This year we did not. Because David Baker wants to keep that, you know, knock on the door and make sure that the guy never got a phone call from any of the presenters that you're in. And he wanted to keep that, sacrosanct. And it's great television. You know, it is when he knocks on that door. So we didn't know. And then there was a bus going to the NFL Honors. And I said, well, I got to go to the NFL Honors because I think Lynch has a real chance this year. You know, he made the final 10, which he didn't do the two previous years. So now he's got to be 5 picks out of 10. You know, I like my chances. So I said, well, I got to go to the NFL Honors because that's when they're going to introduce these guys. And if he makes it and I'm not there, I'm going to feel terrible. I had a 10 o'clock flight at night. Now it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm in no hurry to go to Miami Airport. Well, I told Lynch during the day, you know, hey, John, they changed the rules and I'm not going to know the five. So when you hear from Baker, either a knock on the door or a phone call. And if you're one of the guys that don't make it, you get a phone call from Baker. And that's usually what he does first. Then he does the knock on the door later. So I told John Lynch, you let me know when you hear from Baker. He said, absolutely, Ira. So I'm in that shuttle bus with about five or six other riders from also guys that are in the final 10, gotcha, you know, and gotcha. We're all going to the NFL honors. And there's traffic because it's Super Bowl Saturday and Miami's bad anyway. So it ended up, you know, it's like a 6-mile drive. It was a 45-minute ride. And I was saying to myself, I was sitting all by myself, and I was nervous, and I'm saying to myself, I hope he doesn't call for a while.
Right.
Don't call for a while. I don't want to hear from anybody. And about halfway through the drive, my phone rang, and I looked down, and it was Lynch.
Oh, no.
I immediately felt awful. I picked it up. I said, what's up? He said, I just got off the phone with David Baker. I was crushed. I might have been more crushed than Lynch.
That's what he said. That's what he told the boy.
Crushed. And all I said to him was, what did he say? And Lynch said, he said, you couldn't have come any closer. Baker knew the votes.
Wow.
He got told the votes. It sounded like he might have missed by one freaking vote.
Wow.
And at that point, I couldn't even speak anymore to Lynch. And I said, good luck tomorrow, meaning the Super Bowl. And I hung up. I couldn't even talk to him.
I bet.
And then, 15 minutes later, the bus pulled over at the auditorium. And instead of going in with those other five riders, I turned around. I went to the Marriott across the street to get a cab. And I said, take me to Miami Airport. I said, I got to get out of this town. I can't take it. Now, Rock, next year, Tampa. If anything can help them, it's Tampa. And I'll say this, Rock, I'll say it to you right now. I'm going to give it one more shot. If it doesn't happen in Tampa, I'm either getting off this board, period, or I'm going to let somebody else do it.
Oh, it's going to happen next year.
So let's hope it happens.
Special thanks to Rock Riley for sitting down with the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports to get all of his takes so we could put Ira into the Ira Kaufman podcast as Lee DeKemper and I sit here at Radio Row at the NFL Scouting Combine, where we have been spending the week soaking up all kinds of Bucks nuggets and knowledge. We have plenty more to share. There has been plenty on the website. I hope you've been enjoying the content. We give it our best, as you know, if you're a regular Joe Bucks fan reader, and if you're a listener who's gotten this far, you're a fan, and we appreciate all your support. You can subscribe to the podcast if you don't already at Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Google Play. There are other platforms out there. It's free. All you do when you subscribe is you click the subscribe button, and then you get a free alert to your phone. It lets you know when the new podcast is dropped, or if you really want to get a quick download, you can get an instant download if you want to as well. So we appreciate those listeners and the many thousands who listen at joebucksfan.com. Got some news for you. There will be a third podcast this week. This is number two. We've got some cool interviews that we've done that will be part of the third podcast. Lee DeKemper and I will share our impressions and what we learned getting to chat with Clyde Christensen, as we did the other day in an exclusive session that we had with him. Don't think anybody else had that I could tell, and plenty more. So thank you for listening, and keep an eye out for that third episode this week.